Welcome back to the Rangers Report. Of course, as always, I'm joined by Andy Sinton as we reflect on what's been a busy week for QPR. Of course, it started with the victory at Leicester City, the draw with West Brom where we paid tribute to Stan Bowles, and then the defeat to Middlesbrough. We're also joined by midfielder Isaac Hayden as we reflect on his time here at QPR following his January arrival. This is the Rangers Report, brought to you in association with RFI. So since we're back after what was an action-packed week for QPR, what's your sort of initial thoughts straight away after that?
Well, certainly it was action-packed. It was, you know, it was so much going on, you know, with the games and tributes to Stan. It was a really good week. Obviously, we were looking to follow it up, round it off with a win against Middlesbrough. That didn't happen, but it was a really, other than that result, it was a really good week for many reasons.
Certainly. Highs and lows of football, and we also saw what QPR is all about, didn't we?
Very much so. You know, the highs of the brilliant win up at Leicester, you know, the emotion and QPR as a family and as a club coming together to celebrate and to pay tribute to Stan on the Wednesday night was there for everyone to see, and I think everyone involved should come out with a lot of credit.
Let's go back to the trip to the King Power Stadium. When we sat and we spoke, you were one of the few people that sort of had optimism as we headed to Leicester. Bring that to me, Sins. Give that to me.
Well, I remember saying, you know, because we're in good form. And I think my comment was, why couldn't we go to Leicester and win? Because on our day, we've shown we can compete against any team. So, yeah, belief in Marty, belief in the players, belief in the way the club's going in a recent couple of months. And, yeah, that was my optimism. You know, the fans right behind the team. So that was my optimism, that we could go there and get something. And again, why couldn't we go to Leicester and win?
And there was a few comments of a smash and grab type victory. It really wasn't a case of that, was it, at all?
A couple of people said to me afterwards, reminded me of Burnley last year. And other than beating the top of the league and by the same scoreline, 2-1, I thought it was a completely different performance. Burnley, almost a year later, still can't quite understand how we won that game. Certainly in the first half, could have been 3, 4, 5 down after 20 minutes. So to win that game was great, and it was vital at the time. But this, I thought, about Leicester was a completely different performance. I thought we were in control. You go to Leicester, for me, best team in the league. You know you're going to have periods of the game without the ball, but that's where you rely on your setup, your organisation, your focus, your discipline. And you're going to wait for your moments to come, and when they come, you take them. And that's exactly how it played out. You know, during the game, I don't remember Asmir being overworked. I don't remember us clinging on for dear life at the end of the game, defending for our lives, putting bodies on the line. I thought we were really, really comfortable in the game against an excellent side. And it was a brilliant win.
And Ilias Chair obviously got the ball rolling with the opening goal. But it was the move in the build-up to that caught the eye, wasn't it?
Yeah, really good. You know, Chrissy Willard plays a big part. You know, strength and ability to get away from his man. Slides Lyndon into the space that's being vacated. Lyndon, you know, gets his head up, sees Ilias making the run, and credit to Ilias, you know, because we all know Ilias can strike balls from 20 yards. But for me, as a former wide player, it's great to see him getting goals from 6, 7, 8 yards at the back post where, you know, you can get 5 or 6 of them a season. That's really good. So, no, it was a brilliant team goal. Really well worked and, set us up nicely to go into the half-time, then the second half.
You mentioned Chris Willock there. It's nice to see him almost back to the Chris Willock that we love and adored earlier on in his time here at QPR.
Yeah, Chris, really talented player. I think everyone knows how highly I rate him and think of him. He showed signs in recent weeks that is the best of Chris Willock. I thought he was excellent the second half against Bristol City. Then that sort of continued on. So they played a big part in that goal.
And then the second goal, Sinclair Armstrong was on the pitch. Matter of seconds, wasn't he, before I heard a Sinton scream to my right as the ball hit the back of the net.
Well, you look at, sometimes as a coach or a manager, you sometimes look behind you and you think, you know, the stage of the game, how can I influence it? And there's many ways to influence a game, but when you make a substitute, you're looking for an impact, and we've seen it in recent weeks. We saw Joe Hodge come on and almost make an immediate impact up at Blackburn. We saw Michael Frey make an impact with a goal against Norwich. We saw Paul Smith come off the bench and get the first goal against Rotherham, you know. So, but Sinclair Armstrong's impact was, well, it was instant, you know. He comes off, he runs across. Leicester probably a little bit sloppy because with him coming on, haven't got their organisation right. The ball comes in, we keep it alive. Samfield does great, a shield, and then Sinclair just puts his foot through it. And I think on commentary I said, wow, what a strike. And he goes and celebrates in front of the Rangers fans. Great moment, but you know what, I can't remember how long was to go, but you know the quality of Leicester, they're going to come back at you, which they did a few minutes later. But going back to what you said, I didn't think we were hanging on. I was quite comfortable. You know, you're going to have to defend. You know, you're going to have to get your organisation right. You know, you're going to have to get blocks and stop crosses. And when they come in, get your head on it, which they did in abundance.
Was that almost more rewarding to see than the goals itself at the end? We saw Samfield putting his body on the line. Yeah. We saw blocks, tackles, Jimmy Dunn down the right-hand side winning everything. That is almost, from Marty's sort of perspective as well, just as rewarding as the goals.
There's two aspects of the game. What you're doing for your team with the ball, and what you're doing as a team with the ball, and what you're doing individually and collectively when you haven't got the ball. Both are equally as important. And I thought on that day, we were absolutely superb. Probably more so without the ball, because of the nature of the opponent that we were playing. Brilliant win. Well done to Marty, the boys, everyone involved. And again, you know, goes to show that how far we've come in recent weeks and recent months, that we can go to a team like Leicester and put in that type of performance and come away with 3 points. That should give the whole place confidence for any game and any opponent who we play.
And 3,001 QPR fans made the trip to the Brilliant. King Power and enjoyed every moment of it, didn't they? And rightly so.
Rightly so. You know, they were immense on the day. They were loud on the day. They've been brilliant over recent seasons when things haven't been going well. If anything, they've stuck with the team through thick and thin. And they got their rewards on the day. Hopefully they'll get their rewards further down as the season pans out. But absolutely brilliant. Great to see them celebrating at the end with the team. You know, Marty and the group, real show of togetherness. What I liked about Marty, the fans are singing his name, but he's trying to pass the credit to the players and the rest of his staff.
I was just going to say, I was lucky enough to be down pitch side and I'm filming Marty on my phone and everything, and he's pointing at every player, saying, no, it's about them, they've done this.
I think it shows you something about him. You know, in every interview he mentions the word humble. You know, and he is that, you know, he doesn't take, or he doesn't want the credit, but he will get it and should get it, the way he sets his teams up, the influence he's had since he's come to the club, still knows and he says it, and I like that. You know, we've still got work to do. We know we enjoy the wins. You certainly enjoy wins at Leicester, you have to. I'm a great believer in that. You enjoy them individually, you enjoy them with your teammates and everyone in the setup at your club, you certainly enjoy them with the fans, but you very quickly have to put that to one side, because you know the next game's just round the corner and the next game's always your most important.
And that next game was West Brom on Wednesday night, and obviously before the game we paid tribute to Stan Bowles, and it was a spine tingling moment when that mosaic came up just before kickoff, wasn't it?
It was an incredible night. You know, I've had some nights in football and I've had some nights at QPR, but that one was right up there. Because of the emotion that was going around the stadium, I have to pay credit to everyone behind the scenes at the club for pulling everything off in a short space of time. Once we knew of Stan's passing, it was overdrive to get everything in line, and everyone played their part brilliantly. It's just a special night. The atmosphere inside the stadium was electric, and I think Stan looking down, which I'm sure he was, would have been proud of what QPR as a club did for him and the tribute we paid to him on the night.
And on the field, you could sort of feel the emotions swirling around W12 when we got the first goal as well, and then ultimately when we got the equaliser.
Well, it was some game. It really was some game in the Championship. I think that shows you the best of the Championship. You know, two good teams going at each other, but I thought we were... On the night, I thought we were brilliant. I thought we started really well. We get the... get our nose in front. Great to see Sandfield on the score sheet. Well, he got two, but I'll come to that in a bit. But on the night, I thought he was playing against his former club. He was outstanding, along with everyone else in the team. So
what's it like to play against your former team in that instance?
You always look forward to playing against your former team. You're playing against some teammates that you shared a dressing room once, but I'm of the belief, you know, you have your friendships, you have your memories, but you step across that white line and you're playing for the team that you're employed by. You're playing for the fans who want you to do X, Y, Z, and so everything else goes out the window. You can pick up the friendships afterwards and the nice chatty bits on that field. You've got to do everything you possibly can to win the game for your club that you're playing for. And Sam, on the night, brilliant. So noses in front, really well worked goal. You know, a couple of players play a key role in that. Ilias keeps it alive. Michael Frey does well. Was it a foul? Not quite sure. Lucas Anderson then retrieves it and puts in a great ball, and Sam Field just inside the 6-yard box, you know, middle of the goal, brilliant. So but no sooner we got time to settle, because I think that was an incident where the goalkeeper needed treatment, which probably took a little bit of the sting out of it, which played into West Brom's hands a bit. They come back, and again, we spoke about Leicester, a quality team, West Brom are a quality team, got quality individuals. They get back into the game with a hell of a strike on a player who's banging form at the moment, Johnson. Don't know what his stats are at the moment, but I think he's scoring early every week. 20 yards in off the post. You've got no time to recover from that, where a ball comes in. If you're a little bit critical, Diagana's got probably a yard too much space, but his touch is excellent, takes it away from the challenge, and a great finish. And before you know it, you're 2-1 down, and you deep breath, okay, let's get ourselves back into the game, which I thought we did before half-time. Then I knew half-time would be a big team talk.
It was almost disappointing in the end that we only came away with a point. Mm-hmm. We came out second half, got the equaliser, and then you're thinking, here we go. And there was obvious chances that denied us the opportunity for that, but it was disappointing in the end to walk away with
two points. That second half had everything. I've already said, and I'll say it again, I thought we were absolutely outstanding. You know, the atmosphere was inside the stadium was brilliant, but the way we started that second half, you know, high intensity, quality, get a penalty to get us back in the game. Unfortunately, you don't get it. Should have another penalty, which goes unnoticed and unpunished. Box action, ball's going in, then we get the goal, 2-2. You know, Chris Willard puts the ball in, Cookie keeps it alive, Jimmy hits the bar, Sam's on there to head home. Then we go... the nature of the team, and certainly the nature under Marty, we go searching for the win, and barring an unbelievable goal line clearance from former player Darnell, Cookie scores a worldie to win us the game. But what a game, what a night, absolutely brilliant.
A scissor kick from Steve Cook in the last minute would have been some stuff of dreams, wouldn't it?
Unbelievable effort, but credit to Darnell, you know, highly thought of here, the club, to make that type of clearance. But it was just a brilliant night, and you know, the manner of the game, for me, it was a point. People say, well, you only got a point. For me, the manner of the performance, it felt more than a point, but that's what we got on a night where we paid tribute to Stan. It was an absolutely amazing night, which I felt privileged and proud to be part of, representing QPR.
And obviously on the nature of the Championship, we were Middlesbrough just a few days later, and Marty's quote, he said how we knew at the end of a three-game week the team that scored could first take a big step in the game, and that sort of proved to be the case, didn't it?
Very much so. I always thought it was going to be a difficult game. You know, Wednesday night, you've got no time to recover for the next one, and straight away, so I'll just come in here. People will say, well, Middlesbrough did the same and they had to travel. I get that, and I'm not using it as an excuse, but I always thought it would be a big game for us, because Wednesday night, the manner in our performance, the energy we had to use in that performance, the emotion that goes around, I always thought Saturday, for many reasons, would prove a tricky game. And I put into the mix that Middlesbrough are a very good team, and so it showed. I thought we started the game really well. First 20 minutes was all us. You know, you got the strike from Chris, which is well saved. You've got Sam's half chance on the volley where he puts it over the bar. You've got Ilias's breakaway where Senny makes a really, really good save. But yeah, that was the first half. Second half, credit to Middlesbrough. I thought they came out, were more intent and were more positive and took the game to us. They penned us back. And listen, on the day it happens, the second half in particular, we weren't anywhere near the standards we set in the last few weeks in terms of our performance. Once they got the goal, which you mentioned too, and Martin mentioned, it's going to be so important because that allowed Middlesbrough then to sit with a low block, if you like, with a back five, and you know, you've got your two midfield players just protecting them, so it was always going to be tough to break down. And on the day, we have to say we didn't do enough to do that. They get the second goal, and I thought they saw the game out quite comfortably, so we're disappointed. But if you take it in the entirety, you look at the last 10 games or so, you know, we've took 18 points, 1.8 game. We get that again in the 9 games, we'll have nothing to worry about. The man of our performances, taking Middlesbrough out of it, and Stoke in those 10 games, I think has been an upward trend. So lots to look forward to. It was never going to be easy. We know exactly where we are. We know exactly what we have to do. People go keep saying there's a debate, you know, how many points we need. Who knows? Who knows in the 9 games? Let's just go and win as many as we possibly can. Focus on ourselves. Don't worry about elsewhere. If we get help from elsewhere, brilliant. But we've got to get our job done, and that starts at the weekend.
And someone who's played a big part since his arrival from Newcastle in January is Isaac Hayden. And what's your take on him since his move here?
Well, he's a quality player. He comes with experience, playing at a high level. Delighted to have him when we signed him. And I think he's quality that he brings to the team. His leadership that he brings to the team has been there for everyone to see. So him coming in, Joe Hodge coming in, Michael Frey coming in, Lucas Anderson coming in, he's really given everyone a lift, given the dressing room a lift. And credit to the boys who are already here. You know, they've upped their levels of performance. Competition for places is there. Gives Marty the flexibility to rotate as he sees fit. So that's been good. But to have Isaac here, really, really good. And he's going to play a big part, as he has done already, but from now till the end of the season.
And we caught up with midfielder Isaac Hayden here at Heston to find out how's life been for him here in W12. We're delighted to be joined by midfielder Isaac Hayden here at Heston. Isaac, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And how are you?
Very well, very, very good. Obviously disappointed with Saturday's game and performance, but you know, we move quickly now and we've got another big test ahead, which everyone's looking forward to.
Let's go back to January when you made the move to QPR. What was your initial thoughts when you arrived here in W12?
Well, first of all, I was really surprised by the training ground, how good it was. Facilities are really, really good. Everything was set up here, or looked like it was set up here, to push on and to kick on. And I think, you know, so far since I've been here, you know, we've got a fair amount of decent results. We could have maybe got a few more points on the board to back up some of the performances, but nonetheless, it's been a decent start, and as I said, we need to push on now in the business end of the season.
And growing up, you the other side of London, but it must have been nice to be back on a bit more familiar.
Yeah, definitely. It's been strange almost, because I said I've not been at a club in London or surrounding areas for best part of 10 years, so basically the whole of my career so far I've been away from home. So yeah, it's been nice to get back. But as I said, the main thing was just the opportunity to come and play at a good football club.
And so far, 8 appearances in the blue and white hoops, 4 victories. Must be playing your part in what's been a big end of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, I said, probably if I've been critical, maybe we could have won the West Brom game. And even the Norwich game, to be fair, we started the game well and got the lead, and then obviously got pegged back by, especially the set piece goal was a bit frustrating. But yeah, you know, considering where we were when I first signed, to where we are now, we're in a better position, which is obviously the aim come the end of the season. But yeah, maybe in hindsight, a little bit frustrated not to get a few more points.
And in the midfield, we could reel off the midfielders that we've got. It must be nice to have sort of healthy competition.
Yeah, of course. That's the main thing for me.
You want that, don't you?
Of course. That's the main thing for me in any squad that's been part of, that's been successful. You have to have competition. You have to have numbers, and you have to feel that intensity that, you know, you need to play well to keep your spot. But also, I think more so for the manager, you know, to have options, yeah. You know, because some games might suit certain players better in their characteristics and their style. And that gives the manager options and options to change it, options to from the start. So, you know, at the end of the day, everyone wants to pull in the right direction. And when you're part of a squad and part of a team, it's not about you as an individual. It's about the team and the squad. And at the end of the day, if the squad keeps winning games and getting results and you're playing 90 minutes, 10 minutes in the squad, not playing, you know, that's all that you want as being part of a team. And the better the team does, the better you do. So.
And what sort of your role within the squad? Are you one of the more experienced players, as in the appearances that you've got now in your career, and you're advising them, or are you taking on the role?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't say I'm a massive shouter. I'm not someone that will shout and bawl, but I think it's just kind of leading by example in terms of how I train, how I conduct myself, how you react to things. I think the biggest thing for me is reaction, you know, because yeah, it's games where we've lost or we haven't played well, and then we've come back, we've bounced back, we've got good results. Staying calm, you know, having that understanding that, you know, we can't win every single game, but it's about trying to get maximum points and performances, and performances will then translate into results. And as I said, just, yeah, try to stay calm.
You see that as part of your role. Obviously, you've had a great career, played at a really high level, bags of experience, but you've just mentioned a couple of things here. Things aren't always going to go great. You would like them to. So when we have a bad one, let's say Stoke, but we bounce back with three wins and we're disappointed with Saturday, because you've been there, seen it, done it, along with the likes of Asmir and Cookie and Morgan and people like that, do you think that the business end of the season, where everything's to play for, that can have a beneficial benefit, yeah?
Of course, yeah. I think it's crucial because, you know, especially when you're playing in situations where, you know, every game is vital now. It's not a situation where you can pass games by or games, yep. Even the Leicester game, you know, people are saying, oh, you know, free hit or whatever it is. There's no free hits in this league, and especially at this time of the season. And, you know, especially when you've got things to play for, whether it's been promotion in the past, whether it's been trying to stay in the Premier League, trying to stay in the Championship now, there's always been something to play for. And, you know, it's about having that mentality that we go into every game, obviously, trying to get maximum points. But if, as I said, if it doesn't go quite your way, then it's how you react and how you bounce back for the next game. And, you know, we haven't had to do that too many times so far. I mean, obviously, we've had a couple of losses, but, you know, two losses in eight, form-wise, is pretty good in the table. So, you know, it's up to us to continue that form. And as I said, Sunderland away is the next opportunity to do so. And that's our main focus this week.
You got a bit of a taste of it earlier in your career playing at Loftus Road, but what's it like when you pull on the blue and white hoops in front of the Rangers fans?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I mean, yeah, the first game was so far away that it was almost, you know, a bit different when I was younger. I was just happy to play. I didn't really take in as much, but, and especially when we played last year at Loftus Road, we drew 1-1. You know, it's tight. It's you feel the intensity of the crowd. You know, the support, especially now that I'm playing at home, was much nicer than me playing away last year. So yeah, I mean the support, especially Wednesday night, was special. And as I said, in teams, atmospheres, when you're playing for things, the supporters can make a massive difference. And, you know, so far since I've been here, they have made a difference. And especially the Rotherham game, coming back from goal down was huge. Norwich game again was a great atmosphere. And as I said, we're going to need the supporters towards the end of the season to help us in games and to push us forwards and hopefully get over the line in our target.
Manager Martin Sofrentis obviously brought you in. What's it like under him? We've sort of had everyone on the show and they talk about him and their different experiences with him. What's he like for you?
Yeah, he's been top. Very, very, it's interesting for me because I said that to him. I've had a Spanish manager in Rafa Benitez and obviously Martin, and the similarities are so really, 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 really strange how it is, but they're very, very similar in mannerisms, in the way that they go about their business, what training's like, you know, what they expect, tactical adjustments. They're very clear and concise in what they want, and very, very open and honest in terms of communication. I think that's key for me from a manager's point of view.
I think that's important from any player, isn't it? Feeling you can you can speak to the manager, offload a little bit, ask them how you can improve both your position, units of teams, the whole team. I think that's really, really key.
I think that's, so that's the most important thing for me, is feeling that you've got that confidence from the manager, feeling that you can have an open line of communication. It's not saying that every time we're going to agree,
of course.
You know, with managers or with staff, but the most important thing is that there is that line of communication there, and that you can have an honest and frank conversation about something, and that it's that willingness to learn and improve. I think it's having enough humility from manager's side and the player's side to say, maybe I got that wrong, or I made this mistake, or, you know, I shouldn't have done that, or I could have done this better. But it's about learning and continually developing. And, you know, I've had times in the past where it's been very much sort of situations where it's an ego thing, where you might have a manager that goes, you know, I think X and that's it. And then you don't really improve, because, you know, everyone should be able to have an open, honest conversation and accept that the mistakes are made and move forward. But as I said, he's been really, really good so far. And as I said, I've really enjoyed working with him. And I think that, you know, the group can see an improvement from before, obviously, he came in. I think maybe some of those results or some of those performances before probably could have got some more points. Yeah. You know, the performances probably were better than what the points say. But I think now, as I said, with extra bodies in January, I think it does give the manager that extra bit of boost that maybe they needed before January. And as I said, it gives options and tactical adjustments that can be made during and before a game.
And we see that every now and then, the teams change. Sometimes you're in, sometimes Sam's in, or Jack.
Substitutes
whatever.
Have made a big difference as well. You know, if you look at, we're talking about Sinclair's goal at Leicester, Joe Hodge comes on up at Blackburn, you know, Michael comes on at Norwich and scores a goal, Paul Smith comes off the bench and gets us back on level terms. That's really important. So as players, sometimes you're disappointed not to play, but you've still got a massive role to play, haven't you?
Of course, I think that's what we speak about. I think more so, since the new lads have come in, I think it's given the manager more options. Of course, there's going to be players that are disappointed. Of course, there's going to be times when you want to play. You know, for example, you know, I want to play every single game. Yeah. Is it possible, especially in 4-6 game championship season, or even in the championship season from January, is it possible? Maybe not. And it's not about having an ego about you as an individual, because as I said, of course, every player in that dressing room want to play every minute of every game, but, you know, in a three-game week especially, is every individual going to play every minute? Probably not. So
just be ready.
It's about being ready and being available to the manager if selected, and being a professional. At the end of the day, you see it so many times. You see players who, you know, even the lads who haven't got a lot of minutes so far this season, you need to be ready, because at any given moment, if you're not ready, then you've only got yourself to blame. You know, there's going to be opportunities come towards the business end of the season. There's still a lot of three-game weeks. And it's about managing that and making sure that the squad or the manager gets the best out of the squad available.
We've got 9 crucial games coming up towards the end. First of all, with Sunderland on Saturday.
Yeah, as I said, it'll be another cracking game. Obviously, they've not been in a great run of form, which they'll want to change just as much as we all want to go there and get the 3 points. Maybe dangerous for them, maybe, because they're in a position where they're not really going to make the playoffs, I don't think. They're not really in the battle down the bottom. So is it, you know, manager, interim manager, got all those things for them to think about. But I think for us, it's a great opportunity to bounce back after Middlesbrough. You know, it's a great stadium. It's a great atmosphere to play in there. Always, Sunderland have as I said, good supporters. We'll obviously bring our numbers up there as well. So it'll be, these are the games you want to play in. At the end of the day, you're professional football players. You want to be playing in games that matter and games that mean something. So, looking forward to it. Yeah.
And then obviously that will kickstart. There's an international break, and then we're into the thick of what will be a crucial period for the club.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, don't want to look too far ahead past Sunderland, but obviously, you know, after Sunderland, we play a few teams that are in and around us at the moment. So those are the games really that come the end of the season, you'll need to get results in and you'll need to have strong performances.
Well, it boils down to it becomes an 8-game season, doesn't it? Yeah. After that's what you break it down to. We spoke about it, you know, 8 games. Can we get more points than the other teams in and around us? We will, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
How much in the dressing room are you looking at the table? You're not at all, or
I wouldn't say I'm looking at the table at this moment in time. Just purely because I think, from my experience, I think it's perform. Everyone talks about performances and getting results, and you know I've heard the saying, oh, you know, at the end of the season, it doesn't matter about performances. You just have to win, and the whole point is that, you know, you can win playing poorly, but that's not a sustainable trend. You know, the sustainable trend is performances come first. You perform well, you know, the statistics and the likelihood is that you will win games by playing well. So, you know, we need to get the performances right first, which I said over since January, the performances in general have been pretty good. Apart from the odd, you know, half of football where it's not been great, but that's to be expected. You can't play well 90 minutes every single week. But the results have been good, and it's about making sure that we carry on with good performances, because good performances and, you know, as I said, getting in final third entries, shots, crosses, low expected goals against, you know, all these metrics point to good performances, and it's about translating that and getting the points. But as long as we keep doing that, the points will come.
Isaac, thank you, and all the best for Saturday and for
thanks a lot,
the remainder of the season.
Yeah. Cheers. Thank
good
you.
Luck.
Cheers, guys.
Since a trip to the northeast on Saturday, it must be nice to travel back up motorway.
My part of the world, but I'm certainly not red and white. Tough game ahead. But we're going to a team who aren't in good form. I think they've lost the last 6 games. Recently changed their manager again, which probably tells you something. Fans are a little bit uneasy and there's a bit of unrest up there, but you know, the nature of the Championship, no game's going to be easy. We've got to go there and impose ourselves, forget about their troubles and expect a really tough game. Their fans will start the game right behind them. So it's up to us. How we start the game can have a massive bearing on the outcome of it. So, yeah, another one to look forward to.
Not banging on about the past, but last year proved to be a historic trip to the Stadium of Light, didn't it?
Again, it's one of those games you feel sort of privileged to be there. You know, we're 2-0 there. Game's pretty much going away from us. It's never over till it's over. I think Ilias scores a great free kick with 2 minutes to go. Then the moment that we can all say I was there. You know, Senny Dieng comes up for a corner and gets us a point. So, yeah, eventful. But, you know, back to the present. We know what we need, what we have to go and do. And I'll say it, I said it before, Leicester. There's no reason why we don't go to Sunderland and get what we want. And I think, you know, when I say what we want, what you mean, you know, we're in decent form over the last sort of 10 games. We've got to now put Saturday against Middlesbrough behind us, start again. You know, we had a disappointment against Stoke a few weeks ago. We went and won the next 3 games and took a point against West Brom. So if we do that again, we'll be absolutely fine.
And it obviously is the last game before what is probably a much needed international break for a lot of the lads, a bit of a rest. So how important is it to go into that with a positive victory under your belt?
I think it's really important. Yeah, I think it's really important. It's really positive to go in with, we come away with something from the game, but a win would be brilliant. Then we can, the lads who are going away can go away. They hopefully come back fit and ready. Then we're into an eight game season. That's what it boils down to. It's not what's happened. You know, got 8 games where you've got either match or better other people's results to get us to where we need to go. Every confidence in Marty, every confidence in the players that we will do what we need to achieve, but it won't be easy.
Gents, see you at the Stadium of Light on Saturday. Have a safe journey. See you there. This has been the Rangers Report.